This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
There's so much technology now that we're familiar with it. It'll be incorporated into our everyday lives now.
Speaking of which is a great segue to talk to the superintendent, Dr. Paul Frugo, about virtual learning and what they're doing at the public District 61.
Exactly.
So, doctor, welcome to the show and good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
It's everyone. You've got a crew here. Debbie Bogle to my left, Nick on the other side of the window, and myself, Kevin. First of all, compliments to you. Congratulations on getting school going this fall in some way. That's a Herculean task. I mean, I wouldn't want your job, frankly.
Well, thank you for the kind words. Yes, it's been a challenging start to the year, to say the least. But as I talk to teachers and principals, they say it's getting better each day. We're really starting to get in a flow with how to approach virtual learning.
When they teach you how to be a superintendent, when you go to superintendent school, is there a class on pandemics and what you do during one?
No, we didn't have that in the curriculum. It's just as I've said, everybody's learning as we go. It's adult learning and student learning through this whole entire process.
Now, I'm sure you've been paying close attention to what IHSA or whatever the high school group is that regulates
right.
Football and basketball and all that, and then the Big Ten, and you're a part of all that. That not only is important to you. It's also like a whole nother part of your job is to try to figure out how to navigate during a pandemic with regards to athletics. How's that going?
Well, what we've made the decision. If we deem it only safe to do virtual learning for students educationally, most of our extracurriculars have been tabled. However, there's certain things like student council, those type of things that we can do virtually. And so we're proceeding with some of those items. But most of the things are on hold until we deem it safer for kids to be around other groups of kids and those type of things.
That's great. Dr. Frio, I just want to mention that you guys have done just an amazing job with all of that, but not only having to deal with how to teach people in a new way, and as Kevin said, sports, but also making sure that the kids are fed. And it just sounds like that has been such a huge success. And we've actually had at United Way some surrounding communities call us and say, how's your community feeding the kids? And I get a hold of the school district because they're doing an amazing job. So, and I that's so important. Along
you two
with
worked together
else.
On the food distribution this year, right?
Yes, when we were doing lunches in the parks, not only was Dr. Frigo, feeding kids at that time through the school district, but also helping us to fill in any gaps that we were having with feeding people at the parks. And he was a volunteer, came out, every Sunday and helped us do that. So we really appreciate that and your leadership in the community.
How big an issue is that in your job description about making sure the kids get fed as well as taught?
Well, we have to make sure the kids get fed. You got to take care of those basic needs, such as nutrition, before they'll be able to perform at the maximum level possible cognitively to learn the standards, the curriculum, et cetera. If the kid's sitting there hungry, they're going to be more focused on where can I get some food rather than where can I learn about math, English, or whatever the topic may be. So it's a big piece of what we do, and I feel much better about our approach this fall. We abruptly went to remote learning or virtual learning this spring, and it takes a ton of logistics to feed as many kids as we have and get the food delivered to their homes. So we had some more time to prepare, and I think it's going better now. We had some hiccups at the beginning, but we've honed our machine, so to speak, and getting meals out in an efficient manner and a nutritious manner to our families in the district.
you just brought up a great memory for me when you said these kids, the kids' minds go toward their stomach when they get hungry during class than they do listening to the teacher. That happened to me a lot in grade school. And my mom used to do those bag lunches, you know, and she always perfectly did a bag lunch. And I always had that baggie of potato chips. And I shouldn't tell you this, doctor, but I used to sneak it and put it in my desk and snack on those potato chips at about 11 o'clock.
Well, I guarantee you weren't the only one doing that. So, yes, it's a long stretch, and their kids are young. They're growing. They're burning a lot of energy just by, you know, sitting there growing and learning. So, yes.
So
many of them need that, appreciate the ability to snack while they're working at home even.
Absolutely. And it is so great that you can coordinate all that. And but I wonder now, on the planning stage, where are we in the grand scope of things of getting you back into the classrooms? Is there any light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, we are going to announce our next stage later this morning. There'll be we have to inform all of our collective bargaining groups and our internal stakeholders later this morning, and then around 10 a.m. this morning, we'll have a news release out of what we're doing after October 9th as far as learning moving forward. And I'm not trying to be evasive, but
we have
some protocols on what time things can be announced.
Absolutely. So folks need to pay attention to now Decatur.com for that announcement, and I'm sure that'll be on the news. Oh, good. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that, so I'm glad to hear something's coming.
Yeah. Something's coming, and we'll all, you know, we'll make sure that we get that out in a variety of venues, as well as now Decatur.com, so our families are aware of what we are doing moving forward.
I know we have Marie Jagger Taylor on hold, and we're going to go to her after the commercial break. But I want to take this moment, Deb, to thank the folks. As you know, Tate and Lyle is always involved in something in this community, and this Education Spotlight is actually sponsored by Tate and Lyle.
They also sponsor the United Way Spotlight as well every week. So great community members and huge
and
part
also,
of the food drive.
They also help incentivize our schools during the food drive by targeting our school district to the kids, the schools that bring in the most food get a cash incentive from Tate and Lyle as well. So they're involved on a myriad of levels in this community.
Yes, let's not forget the food drive, right?
Right. They're a big part of that.
All right.
Right.
Dr. Paul Frugo, thank you for the great work, extraordinary work this last year. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys. And Debbie, as always, thank you for all your help and support.
Thank you, Paul.
All right. We'll take a break for the weather and a couple commercial announcements. We'll be back with Marie Jagger Taylor right after this.
Today is going to be sunny with a high of 68, and tonight clear with a low around 39. For Saturday, sunny with a high near 68, and Sunday, sunny with a high near 72. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 51 degrees, and your WSOY time is 7:18.
Cataracts don't just happen suddenly. They develop slowly over time. The effects can start as early as age 55, and many adults aren't even aware that they have them. Gailey Eye Clinic uses precision laser technology to correct the cataracts and improve your vision. Cutting-edge technology, paired with the area's most experienced doctors, can help you see the world clearly. To learn more about cataract surgery, visit GaileyEyeClinic.com. Gailey Eye Clinic, focused on you.
Join Millikan University's MBA program for an online information session on Wednesday, September 23rd at 5:30 p.m. This online event is designed to allow you to talk with MBA program administrators, network with MBA alumni, and have all your questions answered. Millikan's MBA evening program is designed with the working adult in mind and will allow you to gain mastery level knowledge of all of the functional areas of business. Register to attend the September 23rd online information session for Millikan's MBA program at millikan.edu/MBA.
You've stared into your refrigerator 25 times today. Imagine a refrigerator stocked with healthy, delicious meals. Is it a fantasy? No, it's Just Right Eating. Only fresh, locally sourced ingredients go into making healthy entrees like asparagus linguine, barbecue chicken quesadillas, meatloaf, and green beans. All you do is order your meals, pick them up, or have them delivered. Eat and serve. Just go to justrighteating.com and check out the choices.
The return of the Eric Lee Show is off and running. Now alongside co-host Richland Community College's Courtney Carson and with Decatur Earth Mover Credit Union in tow as the presenting sponsor, we start digging back into the great people, events, and businesses of the Decatur community. Eric and Courtney attack each day trying to learn and entertain from 3 to 5 p.m. All shows and guest segments are available on the podcast section of NowDecatur.com and are posted on the Now Decatur Facebook and Twitter pages. The Eric Lee Show with Courtney Carson, every weekday on WSLY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Now we're talking, Nick. I'm starting to move from my chair now. Welcome back to Byers & Company. I'm Kevin Burhaney with Debbie Bogle, the Director, are you the president?
President.
President of the United Way for how many years now, like four?
Oh, no, it's been much longer than that,
Has
Kevin.
It been? Oh, my gosh.
2012.
Okay,
so,
8 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Don't take offense that I cannot keep track of years anymore.
Oh, I can't. It's hard. I actually, the only reason I know that is because I went back and was checking, like, how long have I even been here? Because it seems like just yesterday I was working here at the radio station.
Right.
And, you know, it doesn't seem like, you know, actually 9 years have passed since I've worked here. And it seems, you know, like yesterday, it really does.
Well, a person who also is no stranger to this radio station is Marie Jagger Taylor. She had her own radio show for a long time. And I'm not even going to guess how many years because I'll be wrong, Marie. But you and Chris Riley did the radio show on Friday nights here for how many years?
Yeah, right. Parked at 5. It was a good run. We really enjoyed it. It was great to highlight what was going on with the Park District, and I miss going down to WSOY. And so, hello to you and Nick and Debbie. It's great to hear your voices and be on the radio with you.
Good morning.
It's great to hear your voice too. Your voice is very recognizable. I can't go anywhere with my voice because everybody they don't recognize my face, but when they hear the voice, oh, I know who you are. You have a distinct voice as well.
Well, thank you. I like your voice, Kevin. It's always you're full of enthusiasm and passion, and charisma, and you care about people in this community, so it's always great to hear what you have to say.
But you're probably one of the 20% that like my voice. hey, Marie, you're now over at District 61, and Debbie and I were talking about this during the break, how many different things you do in the arts and how artistic you are yourself. Were you a park singer?
No, I'm from Colorado, so
okay.
My background in the arts is more professional theater, and then I came here by way of Little Theater on the Square in 1992 and worked down at the Little Theater, started their education program, and then came over to the Park District in 2007 and took over the Park Singer program, and my daughter was a young park singer, but I never got the opportunity to be. I would have loved to have been a park singer.
Yeah, well, okay, well, there's the tie-in. I knew you were involved with it somehow, and I knew Chris Riley was a park singer, and he still sings.
Yeah, he and his wife. That's how they met.
Yeah, how cool is that?
Very cool. The arts are great for things like that.
Well, you know, with the arts in school, I don't know how you do arts in school right now with regards to the distant learning, but I'm sure you know how to do it. And I'm watching my daughter. Her kids are now back in school, but when they weren't, it was a monumental task for moms and dads to try to teach their kids from home. And art projects are part of that. And I would have failed terribly.
Well, I don't think you would have. You know what's interesting about the arts, Kevin, especially as we look at what's happened in the pandemic? I really think the arts took a front seat to help people deal, have coping skills to deal with this pandemic, to have a voice, to find, to let people know how they were feeling. So the arts really have, I think, risen, and the district has made a commitment through their strategic planning a few years ago to educate the whole child and incorporate the arts as core subjects. So it's in April, we got together with the art and music teachers and said, if we move forward to virtual learning for fall, what are tools that we could provide you with to help you with your students and so that they can keep their lessons uninterrupted? So through the CARES Act, the school district was able to purchase some programs, Procreate, Pro-Learning for Art, and Quaver and Smart Music for our music and band teachers. And it's allowed for the students to continue to have art access, to continue their skills through these programs, because a lot of them don't have, they won't have tools at home. But each student has an iPad through the district, and then these programs assist and help them to continue their studies. It's pretty amazing. I'm older. I'm not speaking for you, but I'm not a virtual person. So I've had a huge learning curve. So I find that these kids are teaching me because they know how they gravitate toward that. They aren't afraid of apps and programs. And I've kind of seen them flourishing in their own environment.
Marie,
and I applaud the district for assisting the teachers that way.
Marie, I took a art class back in the spring. I was originally signed up to be in person, and then obviously it had to go to virtual. And I'm just wondering if what you're doing is a little bit similar. It was a painting class, and I just went and picked up everything I needed at the Arts Council, including the paper plate to put the paint on and a paper towel to wipe the paintbrushes off, and a couple little cups of paint, and then the canvas. And then I just jumped onto Zoom with them, and they taught us, you know, step by step how to do this specific painting. And I mean, mine wasn't that great, actually. I'm going to have to redo it because I'm not very artistic. But is that a little bit about how you're doing this and what you're doing with the students?
Each school, we now have an art teacher almost at every school. So each school has different levels, like Stephen Decatur Middle School. I'm sure Mary Lanker is doing part of that, and the high school is doing certain things like that. But at the elementary level, where it's more utilizing the iPad and the app to draw,
so
not as much hands-on. So they're learning how to observe, how to view lines, some of their skills, the skill set at the elementary level.
Maria, I'm sitting here thinking about you talking about how you had that learning curve. Nick, teaches in the high schools. What's it like from a teacher's perspective?
Well, I'll tell you this. Each kid learns differently. Each kid has a different setup. I have some kids in class and also some at home. So, you know, each of them is bringing, their own skills to it, but they're there and available for questions. And what I wanted to say about what Marie's doing is she's brought a lot of energy and some aggression, like in a positive way, like we're going after this thing. to better answer the question that Debbie had, is this how we do it? And more so trying to identify how we do it, how we collectively do it by seeking out the opinions of all the different art teachers and all the different buildings across all the different classes, which I heard and learned about, are not only just doing art, but learning about art and theory and integrating it. So I think that Marie's bringing a whole new set of life to this to answer those questions for you.
Well, and really, your question, Kevin, to Nick, is that our teachers are the rock stars. Our teachers are the champions. Our teachers are maneuvering the roadmap right now. We're supporting them with programs and products, but they're the ones that are reaching out. And I've gone over to view teachers and had the opportunity to be one of our new full-time art teachers. He's taught in the district as integrating art. And the time and energy and working with these kids on Zoom, I am so in awe. Our teachers love their students, and I think that's really what I'm seeing through observing all the teachers in art and
Marie?
In music and in band.
We're up against heartbreak. You understand radio. It's been great having you on, and thank you so much.
Yes, and thanks for supporting District 61 and the arts.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.